I'll call this meeting to order. This is the work session of the mayor and council of the city of Bisbee County of Cochise and state of Arizona to be held on Tuesday, October 2nd, 2018, at 6 p.m. in the Cochise County Board of Supervisors Hearing Room, 1415 Melody Lane, Building G, Bisbee, Arizona. Ms. Coronado, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Anna Klein. Councilmember Joan Hanson.
Here.
Councilmember Frank Davis.
Here.
Mayor David M. Smith.
Here.
Councilmember Bill Higgins.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Douglas Dunn.
Here.
Councilmember Gabe Lindstrom is excused. City staff, Robert Smith, city manager, Ashley Coronado, city clerk, Carrie Bagley, finance director, Dwayne Wallace, interim, or, excuse me, operations manager.
Thank you, ma'am. We have one item on this particular work session agenda, and that is discussion regarding an engagement letter with Siemens for an ARS Title 34 performance contracting project, improving infrastructures and operational efficiencies. Mr. Smith, city manager.
Mayor, thank you. Mayor and council, I wanted to introduce a project concept to the council and gather feedback and consideration on a Title 34 project. Basically, Arizona has legislation that says if you can save enough money to offset the cost of a project, companies are able to come in and help you do that. And we do believe that elements of our physical plant, not just the wastewater treatment plant, but we do believe that control systems in our buildings, lighting systems in our buildings, HVAC in our buildings, are old enough that were we to retrofit them with more efficient, more modern units, we would actually save on our consumption. We have not gone through a detailed audit of that yet, but cursory analysis shows somewhere around $120,000 in savings a year could be gotten from changing the components that use electricity in parts of our businesses. And so I wanted to introduce Matt Vaccaro. He's with Siemens. They do this kind of work. They've worked in Arizona. They're currently working with Yuma. I think they've recently concluded something in Tucson. Is that right? So they've got a track record here. Their approach to this, I think, is very different than I think Noresco was the company that the county used for a project like this back in 2004. I believe the county engaged in an energy efficiency project in 2004, and they were not happy with the way that went. They weren't happy with the documentation, the audits and the determinations of savings, what they were being charged for services and products, and that left a bad taste in the county's mouth. And I think around 2014 is when that all blew up. Here we are in 2018. I've got a company that has a proven track record here in Arizona. I think that there's an opportunity for us to make some improvements to our own footprint and save our taxpayers some money and put that money to better use. And with that, you know, I'd like to introduce Matt, but I would encourage council, let's ask the hard questions. Let's be really critical. We also have APS here with us today. I think the regional manager, is that right? Yeah. To speak to the street lighting. We have an arrangement with APS, and one of the things that we've been talking about is converting our street lights over to LED fixtures that might save us some energy. And what the complexity around that might be and what the savings might be. And then I would also ask Matt to talk about the arrangement. How does, if a city wants to embark on a project like this, what are those steps? And how does the city demand accountability and transparency into what it is that it's getting for its money? And what is that relationship with Siemens like over the life of that project. One of the things I'm impressed with Siemens is they don't just come in and do the construction and walk away. They are with you, looking at your energy consumption all the time. And so if there are buildings where they've done control improvements and they see spikes in consumption there, they're right back in front of you saying, what's going on? Why do we have this additional load here? And there's a dialogue between the city and Siemens throughout the life of the project on what the energy consumption is and proving what that is through an audit reporting mechanism. So with that, I'd like to introduce Matt, and please do ask him the tough questions. If it's possible for us to engage in a project where we improve what we have and we reduce our consumption, I think we should be doing that. But I don't want to have a repeat of what the county went through with Naresco.
Thank you. Welcome, sir.
Thanks. I appreciate everyone's time and your interest this evening. And thanks, Robert, for your interest also. And poor Duane has been a fellow that has suffered through gathering all sorts of information for us to at least put this preliminary analysis together for you this evening. So I appreciate the time. Let's see, where should I start? Because Robert touched on a lot of important things. I guess let me set the ground rules, and that is that I also do encourage you to ask questions as I'm talking about different things. I think that it helps you to gain a much better understanding of some of these concepts and some of these ideas. And as I mentioned to Bill earlier, you won't throw me off track. So please, if you got a question, just ask, and let's kind of go with that, okay? So as Robert mentioned, we have spent some time here over the last few months, took a look at a number of your utility bills, several of your facilities, have reviewed an outside consultant's report regarding your wastewater treatment plant. And so what you'll see this evening is the result of that initial work in terms of some of this preliminary analysis. We've kind of got it scoped out, if you will, within a range. And then, like I said, I'll answer some specific questions also. But let's start with this. So when I do my homework with any public entity that we consider working with, what I always want to understand is, what are your objectives? What is the city trying to accomplish? You know, is that part of a master plan? Is that, in your case, part of your sustainability plan? And so I highlighted four different things here that were directly from your sustainability plan that would be impacted by a project of this size, scope, and magnitude. So, for example, you know, we talk about Title 34, which Robert mentioned, is a piece of state legislation. And it is meant to encourage public entities, whether it's a city, a county, a school district, universities, to be able to fund a number of these kinds of deferred maintenance projects, these kinds of upgrades, those types of things. And so it is meant to help municipalities to become more financially stable, to free up some budget dollars that you don't necessarily always need to be spending on some of the things that you have. So that I think is really where the main idea is with a project like this, in that it's a financially justified type of project. Sure, you get some cool technology out of it, and there's some nice upgrades that are part of it, but at the end of the day, it's really got to do with the city's budgets, okay? So, and I don't think I have to tell any of you that it's not easy to raise taxes. There are not new sources of revenue that are readily available. So how do you do, how do you conserve dollars within the budget? Well, this is one of those ways to do that, okay? As I mentioned, your sustainability plan addresses a few of the elements that we'll talk about this evening, like your streetlights, building efficiency, water conservation, certainly some of the improvements at the water treatment plant. And then also, one of the questions that has already come up that I wanted to make sure that I touched on was this idea in regards to local labor. So yes, we're a large company. Yes, we're based in Phoenix. Yes, we have a small office in Tucson, much like many other companies, right, that work in Arizona. And so when I come to a city of Yuma, which you'll see as one of our references later in regards to streetlights, or when I come to any other smaller cities within the state of Arizona, people always want to know, well, what's in it for us? What are you going to do for our local economy? Typically, a project like this, we will do a couple of things. Number one, we will always look to utilize local labor where applicable. So depending upon what the scope of work is, and like Robert mentioned, mechanical work, HVAC, I am confident that you have some local contractors here that already work for the city, that are more than qualified to do this kind of work. So we will look to hire those guys, which obviously will drive tax dollars back into the local economy. And also our rules of thumb from many, many years of doing these kinds of projects tell us that with the size and scope of what we're looking at doing potentially here for the city of Bisbee, that it will probably generate on the order of a couple dozen local jobs over the period of about 6 to 12 months. So we think that's a significant impact in terms of a project like this in conjunction with being able to conserve the amount of power and cost savings that we'll propose as part of this. I mentioned we've done a preliminary analysis. These were the few places that we looked at initially. We spent some time at the wastewater treatment plant, looked at a couple of the public safety buildings and the library, and we've done some analysis on the streetlight. So should this make sense to you that we decide to engage together and move forward, then, as Robert mentioned, we would move into a detailed audit phase where we go through and we count every single light bulb that might be a potential to be changed out. We actually analyze each piece of air conditioning equipment that might be a candidate for a project like this. We will wrap up our engineers in designing some control systems that make sense. And we do that in collaboration with someone like Dwayne and his staff, because we don't want to do it in a vacuum. We want to do it in a collaborative manner such that the city's already utilizing certain products that they may have a preference for, that they are comfortable with, that makes sense to them. So it would be short-sighted on our part to come in and say, hey, this is exactly what you need. We may make recommendations of things that you guys are not familiar with, and if that makes sense to you, terrific, let's work together on it. But if there are other items and equipment and what have you that you're already using, everybody's comfortable with, and maybe you have some backup stock for any number of those reasons, then that's what we would look to use in conjunction with, again, some of your local contractors where applicable.
It may be premature.
No, no.
Can you add projects as this thing goes along? Mm-hmm. So would they have to be agreed upon, or as you add them, does it have to go by this time frame then?
No.
Or does another time frame come up?
Yeah, so let me explain the process. Maybe that'll help with your question. Typically what we'll try to do is we'll look at everything. We'll look at every single building. We know we're talking about streetlights, and we know we're talking about the wastewater treatment plant. So we will try to put together an analysis and a scope of work that is inclusive of everything. But as part of our process, and again, a difference from maybe what the county had experienced in the past is, number one, we do open book pricing, so you'll know exactly what you're getting. And we will also break all those projects out. So that's an opportunity. I've used the word collaborative, I think, already two or three times. Sorry, I don't mean to overuse it, but it's really important to us. So we'll come back during our initial surveys and what have you. And again, we'll work with Dwayne and his staff, and we'll say, hey, here's a dozen things that we found to do. And here's what they look like in terms of paybacks and all of that. And we'll start to sort through those to either include, because they make sense, they meet the objectives we're trying to accomplish, or we may exclude those at that particular time. Now let's say we get 6 months down the road and we're, you know, 3/4 of the way through the project, and Dwayne and his guys, or, you know, our guys are walking around town, we go, why didn't we look at that? What did we miss there? Yes, we can always add something like that. Again, if it makes sense and it fits within the financial parameters of what the state outlines under the legislation. Sorry, that's probably a way longer answer than you wanted, but...
And on the other hand, you could drop things that don't look like they're going to be reduced.
Yeah, we'll always eliminate those up front. That's part of that work together on a co-authored basis. Okay?
Thank you.
Sir, you look like you had a question, too.
Well, I was just thinking, in the long run, there's going to be ultimately things that have to be done to meet the energy audit, you know, standard that you're going to come up with.
Okay. All right, so that's kind of where we started. That's what you'll see some of these preliminary financials based upon. So let's talk about kind of what the current conditions are, right? What we sort of discovered, what your challenges are, what some potential solutions may look like, and then what that results in for some benefits. So, you know, you look at what you're faced with. As your equipment gets older, repair costs continue to increase. They never really go down. And there is a useful life cycle to everything that's used, whether it's in the wastewater treatment plant or certainly in any of your buildings. You know, a lot of times it falls into that category of deferred maintenance. Well, let's kind of keep it together with baling wire and duct tape, so to speak, right? And we'll get to it later because we don't really have the funds. Again, that's what the legislation is designed to do. We're going to guarantee the savings that are going to come from this project that will fund this project. So that's the idea. Let's take care of those items now rather than keep them on the to-do list, and let's get you up to date and know that you've got a guaranteed source of funds to be able to pay for them. That's the idea here. There's a better way to do some of this stuff in terms of utilizing and leveraging technology, right? How many cell phones are all of us packing right now, right? And I'm not advocating we use cell phones to control, but that's a feature of some of these technologies. It makes us more efficient. It extends the operations staff time and effort. And rather than having to run around all the time and, so to speak, put out fires, they can leverage technology to take care of some of these issues and be proactive rather than reactive. You know, benefits, when you think about what is this going to do, I'll talk some more about some of that as we go on, but the idea is to permanently reduce some of these budget costs from not having to continually repair some of this older equipment and to continually pay increasing electric costs, for example. We'll guarantee what those savings are that are going to come from that. Another basic philosophy of what the state outlined when they put this legislation together also is to shift risk. So can the city do some of this work? Yeah, absolutely. You guys have more than qualified men within the city that are capable of doing this. But it's really always a matter of budget and time, right? When are you going to get to it, and how are you going to pay for it? So I'm not saying we do it better than the guys at the city. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is that this is an opportunity to know that, A, you've got the funding to do it, and the fact that that funding is guaranteed, you're shifting that risk, that responsibility, that liability to a third party to ensure that it gets done on a contractual basis. And as Robert alluded to also in his opening comments, it's not a matter of us just coming in and doing a bunch of work, collect a check, and then we go back to Phoenix. That's not it at all. Again, a provision of the state legislation says we must continually prove that these savings are actually taking place, that the warranty is continually being covered, a number of those follow-up items. So unfortunately for poor Dwayne, if you guys hire us, he's stuck with me. You're not gonna get rid of me that easy, pal. But no, in all seriousness, we have a long-term vested interest in wanting to maintain our working relationship with the city to guarantee and to provide for the long-term life cycle of this equipment in as efficient manner as possible. Mayor, you look like you had a question.
Nope.
No? Okay. You're just pondering, huh?
Not yet.
Okay, not yet. All right, very good. All right. So again, I won't discuss everything. Those are just a couple of pictures of some things that we found at the wastewater treatment plant that we think that can have some benefits in terms of some upgrades. So again, this is not a complete detailed list. That's to come should we, again, decide to move to the next step together. But there's definitely some things to do, for example, at the wastewater treatment plant in terms of some higher efficiency motors, some fine bubble diffusers, which are a much more efficient way of doing some things. I listed PACE Engineering. Robert and, again, Duane have been very helpful in providing some information that has been already done by a consultant through PACE Engineering, where they've made a number of recommendations that have to do with things that, am I stating it correctly when I say maybe should have been done from the get-go in that plant? Is that basically right? Okay. So in other words, in order to take that plant now from its, you know, middle age and extend that life and make it prepared for potential future growth, things of that nature, there's some things they're recommending. And we would intend to work again together with them and with Duane's approval and his guys that those were good ideas to go ahead and implement and use as part of a project like this. You've already done some cool solar stuff out there. That solar field is already producing basically what you need. Should you decide to expand the capacity of that plant, it might make sense to add some solar again to take that demand off of there. So that's something we'll look at in terms of long-term plan with the plant, what have you. So let's talk about this, the streetlights for a minute. It's many municipalities in the state of Arizona are in the process of upgrading their typical high-pressure sodium lights, those kind of yellowish lights that spray light in all directions, to the new LEDs. I'm sure you're all familiar with the LEDs. You know, it's a somewhat brighter light, it's a whiter light, it's a cleaner light, and it's a much more efficient light also. Minimum, it's about a 30% savings off your utility bill by converting from the existing technology to the LEDs. And as part of a project like that, what we always find and what Robert and myself and Duane have already talked about is there are some areas that may not be as well lit as they need to be. They may be overlit in some areas. And there may be some lights that are actually shining into a business or a residence. So those are all considerations that we would look at as part of a potential upgrade project. And what you'll find with these lamps, for example, the lamps that we're using, down in the city of Yuma, are what's called a full cutoff. So imagine, if you will, a street lamp that kind of hangs out over the street like this. A full cutoff basically just means it has a shield that comes down on both sides a ways, which means that any light that comes out of there is directed where it's needed, right? Down onto the sidewalk, down onto the street. So we'll ensure that those are the correct lumens. And a side benefit of that speaks to another thing that I read in your sustainability plan, which is very important in many communities, which is the whole dark skies initiative, right? There's a reason you guys live down here, or one of the reasons that you live here is because when you walk out at night, you can see the stars. And we don't want the streetlights to interfere with that, which some of your streetlights are currently doing that. So we can ensure that, in fact, with these new LED lights, that it will lessen that amount of light pollution that's going up. It'll go down, and you'll be able to see the sky a little bit better. So it's not a benefit that I can specifically quantify, but I can tell you based on our experience that, in fact, that is absolutely what happens.
It's just a comment. We do have certain codes in place in our city code having to do with dark skies, so that would be important to us.
Okay, good. Well, then we'll make sure that, again, should you decide to move forward with us, that we'll make that part of what our engineers take a look at and make sure that any lamps that we recommend meet that criteria for you. Okay, good. I'm glad you told me that. So, Last thing in terms of potential improvement measures, there's plenty of stuff to do in some of your buildings. Again, it falls in that category of deferred maintenance, and I don't say that as a criticism, I say that as a fact of life. I can go to any city in Arizona, and there's deferred maintenance for so many of the day-to-day things, whether it's lighting or the air conditioning equipment or the building automation controls, all of those kinds of things. So, you know, there's a lot of benefits to upgrading your buildings beyond just the cost savings. You know, there's a better working environment for the employees. It makes your guys on staff more efficient. They're, like I said before, they're not running around putting out fires. They're leveraging technology. They'll be able to see exactly what's already going on. So a lot of different things there. Is there any questions in specific regarding just some of the preliminary analysis items that we brought up?
Do you have an idea of what we're spending on, maybe Gary does, on street lighting presently?
Yes, we do, and that number didn't seem to stick in my head, so I can't throw it out to you. I'd have to go back into our notes. But, yeah, that was part of the... It is, yeah, yeah. I mean, usually what we find with cities is that wastewater treatment plants typically consume the most amount of power, and then depending upon how many buildings that a city has, that may be number two, it may be number three, depending upon, again, how many streetlights they have. So it's a significant expenditure, but that was a lot of the information that Dwayne was very helpful in gathering for, so we at least made our preliminary analysis from that.
5,000
a month.
Okay.
Hey, Matt.
Yeah.
If it's okay, Council, I'd like to jump in with a couple of details. We're pretty certain at some point we need to deal with the swamp coolers at the library. There's a bit of a humidity problem. They're not reliable. They don't create an environment in which the public can really use the library upstairs well. And we're now opening the library on Saturdays. And you know, we're trying... We have more people using the library wanting to get in there, and we have a bad environment. That's a project we already know that we need to launch and do. It makes sense to do it this way and create the savings and have that offset the cost of the project. The same thing can be said for the improvements at the wastewater treatment plant. We already know that we're wasting energy there. We already know that the equipment that we have is not what was originally envisioned for the plant, and that we can do better in terms of quality of operation and consistency. So we already know at some point we're going to have to deal with the lift station motors. And it doesn't make sense to just go out and do it when we could do it this way, and we could document the savings and have the savings offset the cost of the construction. So, you know, from my perspective of looking at our physical plant and understanding the things that we need to get done, it makes sense to package work and have a guaranteed company guaranteeing us that we will save to pay for that, and that if something wacky happens and we are not saving that much electricity, they write the check for the difference, we don't. And I think it makes sense to try and do these things with Siemens, but there's an awful lot of education and some suspicion out there based on what the county went through that I think that, you know, we've got to work through so that people understand what we're trying to accomplish.
Just to highlight one thing that Robert just touched on in terms of knowing what the savings are and what you can expect and what have you. One of the ways that we work with our customers to give you a better level of comfort so that you understand that this is exactly what is really happening is this, is that some of the technology that we would intend to implement, we will make sure that, again, Dwayne and his staff have access to that and have training on it. And it's the same technology that we will use either on a hands-on basis or on a remote basis to continually measure and verify what those savings look like. So in other words, you know, Dwayne may look at it on a weekly basis, right? And on Friday morning when he's looking through some of his reports and some of his graphs, he may notice an anomaly, like, I don't know, there's some additional electricity being used outside of the norm at the library. So that's a perfect opportunity for him to either dig in and find out what's going on or enlist our help and get a hold of our technicians or some of our engineers and say, hey, this is what's happening. What should I be looking for? The point is that, A, the city will have access to the same technology that we're going to utilize to measure and verify. And secondly, it will take place on a real-time basis. In other words, it won't happen at the end of a quarter or, God forbid, at the end of a year where we pull a bunch of utility data and we go, oh, look at that. Geez, we missed it. I wonder what happened there. Let's go back and look. No. The time to catch it is when things are already happening. And I'm not saying that it will, but we always find things that get out of calibration. Stupid stuff happens. You know, you get an outside air damper that gets stuck open in the middle of July, and it's pulling in 90-degree air into the library for 4 hours in an afternoon. Well, we wouldn't know that till next month when the utility bill came. But if he's looking at it and we're looking at it regularly, we can catch that like this week and go fix it now so we keep those energy savings in your pocket. So that's one of the ways that we ensure that those kinds of things happen. Again, sorry, I didn't mean to dive into a bunch of engineering, but I thought it was germane to the point that you brought it up. So, okay? All right. Those handouts that Robert just put in front of you are from a wastewater treatment plant project that we finished 6 years ago in Texas, actually. One of my counterparts over there is very proficient at doing wastewater treatment plants. And those are selected pages out of our annual report that we are required to provide to the city. I didn't print the whole thing because, number one, it's a little bit voluminous, and number two, it's a lot of mind-numbing engineering calculations. But the basics of those charts and graphs there is to show you that, in fact, we've achieved some of those savings, and they haven't been little dollars, right? It's been a significant amount of savings. And so that's part of the output that you could expect, again, should you decide to engage with us going forward, that, you know, we'll produce that information. It'll be online through the technology that I mentioned a minute ago, but that will produce, whether you want it on a quarterly or an annual basis, and it will go through building by building, measure by measure. In other words, how much did that automation system save, and how much did the lighting save, and how much did the motor save at the wastewater treatment plant? Because we have to budget each one of those line items individually, and we have to calculate and engineer each one of those solutions. So that's why I said before we do open book pricing, so you know exactly what each one of those measures will result in. You guys are probably bored hearing the same thing second time, huh?
I think that a few would argue that we could, you know, do with more conservation and upgrading. I guess the question in my mind is, the way I understand this would work, we would, if we engage you, we'd give you a lump sum to do the study, and then you're going to develop an estimate for work that needs to be done. So there would have to be a certain amount of work for this to be done for us to get the savings to pay for that work. Theoretically, that's how this would work.
Mm-hmm.
That we would recoup enough savings to pay for the money that we're going to spend to redo these things.
That's exactly right.
So I suppose, will there be a range? I suppose it would be a range of things that you're going to offer or suggest that we do. So there'll be a range in this estimate that you do. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And in fact, one of my upcoming slides speaks to exactly what you're looking for. I've got some specific numbers within a range based upon our initial analysis.
Right.
Yep, absolutely. Anything else I'm forgetting that you were thinking of? Okay. Ah, perfect. That was a great lead-in. Glad you asked that question when you did. So, again, based on our preliminary analysis, this is what we believe the range could be for both the savings and what an investment could look like. So, why the range? Well, because, as I mentioned before, this is a co-authored project. So as we dig into each one of these measures and we come back and work through it with the city, and we'll do that over the course of a couple of months, where we'll do some study, we'll do some engineering, we'll do some estimating, we'll come back, we'll sit down with you guys, you know, and we'll work through that, and we'll have a whole laundry list, and we'll start to pare that laundry list down, right? We'll say that, hey, you know, measures number 1 through 5, those all look like they meet our objectives, and those are good ideas. Let's include those. But, you know, measure 6, 7, and we're not sure about 8. 8 maybe requires some more study. Let's look at it this way. But let's exclude 6 and 7. So that's why I give the range. It's kind of the low end and the high end, right, of all the different things that you might anticipate through those 3 different categories of projects that I outlined on the previous slide. Okay? So let me pause there for questions.
potential savings. Now, that would that be okay? So the idea being here that you know, that we would be financing this project, and I think the number with 30% savings was thrown around someplace. And does that reflect the 30% savings, or is this savings, this guaranteed savings after you take your cut off the top?
Okay, so. Three good questions in there. Three good questions. The first is, in terms of the 30% savings, I referenced that as far as the streetlights go. We will not achieve 30% savings on the, either the wastewater treatment plant or in the buildings. Okay, those numbers are beyond what is typically possible. What is possible in those facilities? Somewhere probably anywhere from about 10% up to about 20% in those particular facilities. So as an aggregate, will it be 30%? No, I mean, depending on what projects we mix in there and what have you, you know, we'll be plus minus 20% savings. It'd be my educated guess based on our experience, okay? That's number one. Number two, in terms of the financing of the project, I'm actually going to let Robert address that because he's already done some homework and has some really good ideas for council in regards to that. And then number three, you talked about after we take our cut off the top. So that was a good question in regards to two things. Number one, we don't finance the projects, okay? We're contractors and engineers. Our mission in life is to build projects, to install projects, and then to work with those projects for many years to come. That's our mission in life. That's what we do as a company. In terms of lending money and those types of things, that's not our deal. Other people do it way better. So that's the part that Robert had worked on.
So really you can't answer, you really can't answer my third question then.
In terms of the financing?
In terms of, because, you know, we would have to talk to a financial institution or something, I suppose. I know that, the state mandates that the money that we save has to make the payment on the loan.
That's correct.
That seems to be state law. What I'm saying is this $120,000, this would be coming to the city after we've made our payment on our loan, and you're saying that you don't know because you're not doing the financial end of this. It seems like a simple enough question.
It is a simple enough question now that you've explained it. Sorry, I answered a question a minute ago that you didn't ask. So let me answer the question you just did ask. So let's say that we determine there are $120,000 annually in savings. So depending upon the loan term and depending upon the interest rate, that $120,000 and some percentage less than that would be used to fund the loan itself. So in other words, the savings is what is used in order to pay for those improvements. And again, we guarantee those savings. Let's say that we, in collaboration with your financier, design a loan package that, say, the payment's $110,000 a year. And we typically would want to do it that way so that there is a cushion and the city will realize some immediate savings during that initial loan period. as far as how long the loan is, as far as what the interest rate is, those types of things. We'll work with some cash flows with, again, your financier to help design whatever the city determines meets their financial appetite. Does that capture what you're thinking?
Yep.
Okay.
And council, we have the ability to go out to Arizona's open market and look for the best financing that we can secure.
You know, I understand that. It seems like my question isn't really getting answered here. So, you know, I'll just drop it because I'm not getting an answer to my question. And it's a simple question. And I know all this depends upon financing, and I know that you can go out to the market and talk to people and we can finance this. You know, my question is, what actual savings is going to come to the city? You know, we're going to do a better job on the lights. We're going to save energy. But it seems like the money that we're going to save is going to be going to pay the loan. What I'm saying is, where's the benefit?
And what,
where's the beef?
What Siemens is saying is they will engineer the project because they don't want to have to cut us a check. They will engineer the project so that what we save will guaranteed offset the loan that we have to go get to make those improvements.
I understand that.
What they're going to do is they're going to guarantee that, and they're going to say if you experience expenditures beyond that, they will pay it. So I believe what they're going to wind up doing is actually engineering it so that they know that our consumption is going to be lower, and that will have savings.
I understand that too, but I'm not getting an answer to the basic question here. And the basic question is, you know, we're going to borrow this money, we're going to give it to these guys, they're going to put in new lights, and it's going to save this much money. But the money we save is going to go back to pay the loan.
Correct.
What is coming to us?
The new lights.
New lights. Okay, thank you. Finally, somebody answered the question.
Right.
We're getting out of this deal is new lights.
We're
really, any potential savings that we're getting for the new lights is going back to...
to pay for the lights. But
all right, that was my question. You have answered.
But there's more to it than just the lights, because...
Well, I can see that. I saw his presentation. I can see that there's more to it than the lights.
We're not...
I just want a little plain-spoken answer to my plain-spoken question. That's all I was asking for.
Well, I'd like to make sure that everyone understands that...
That's what I was trying to do, is make sure everyone understands.
Beyond just getting the lights. We're not having to go out and fix the lights all the time because they're not going out anymore because the LEDs last longer.
I understand all. You don't have to give me the, I don't need the sales talk. I just, I just needed an answer to my simple question. And my simple question, it seems the mayor was the only one that answered it, and he said we get new lights and we get some other efficiencies in a couple of municipal buildings, which we don't have a lot of.
Sure, I understand.
And upgrades at the wastewater treatment plant. So what's the value of that?
I'm sorry, what do you mean?
What is the value? I mean, in dollars and cents, what is the value of these upgrades to the wastewater treatment plant? What does a motor cost to change out?
A replacement pump right now costs about $30,000. If one goes out to the sufficiency that we actually have to replace and put a brand new pump in, those lift station pumps are about $20,000 to $30,000. Even a cheaper one's $20,000. Every time we send one of these old pumps out that were installed in the plant to get fixed, it's at least, and you guys have passed it, multiple times, can range between $6,000 and $10,000. The technology that was put in the plant in 2005. Isn't the best technology available today because all of our pumps and our lift stations are either on or off, as opposed to, slowly ramping them up depending on flow, which is what a lot more plants are gone to, so that instead of either on or off, it's a percentage of an actual percentage of flow. I'm going to speak to this at the next, at the regular session at the end a little bit. But there's a lot of things that we have discovered, and especially after the past couple of months, as much time that's been at the plant, there's a lot of things that corners were cut to get the plant built, and we're at the point now that some of these need to be taken care of, or we're going to end up in bigger issues. And this is my understanding of this project is a way to finance those so that those efficiencies, instead of a pump being on and or off, and a gradual use of the pumper, let's say 25 or 30% of the pump being used, it prolongs the life of the pump, uses less power. Now, the diffusers that he mentioned for the wastewater treatment plant is the digesters, where everything we pump out that before we haul it off to the landfill. In 2005, the newest technology were just pumps, just to kind of circulate them. There's something else that will save a lot more money and actually will help reduce the amount of sludge we have, called fine bubble diffusers. We're just basically pumping air into it. You know, I've tried to figure out a way just to hook a compressor onto it, but I don't, you know, I can't just do that. Those are some of the other things. There's another planned or a potential upgrade of putting a disc filter in the plant that will cause us to use the UV lights less, because the less grit that you send through the UV lights, right now we have them full on all the time. I mean, that's just the way the plant's built. You have them, just crank it on, you walk away, that's it. So there's a lot of these things that I think we can expand on maybe even possibly at a different work session. There was a lot of engineering that was already done that the city walked away from, and I personally think that was a bad idea. But I think this might be a way to get some of that paid for.
Thank you, Dwayne.
Yeah, it seems to me what we will get, Bill, is better infrastructure. And we'll avoid having, run around putting out fires all the time. We'll have a better, lighting in the community that people appreciate, that people don't like streetlights shining in their eyes. So it's not all just monetary savings. It's a quality issue. Right?
If I could, the Title 34 program, it was put in to help the cities be able to get new equipment basically without having to raise their budget, because what this evens out as that we will be getting new stuff and it's not going to cost us any more than we're paying right now, where if we didn't go with this program and we had to get the new pumps and we had to decide to LED lights in ourselves, and we would have to pay that on top of our budget. So that's a simplified way of...
No, it's well put.
It sounds good. I mean, we're going to get something for nothing. And we're going to get new infrastructure, we're going to get new lights. I mean, it sounds good. To really say that we're, we're going to save anything by this. We're not going to save anything. We're just going to upgrade our infrastructure. I don't see any really.
Yeah, worst case.
Yeah, which case scenario. It would cost us money in the future. If we don't do it now.
Right.
I understand that, but it's just fuzzy language sometimes.
Yeah.
In order to make any kind of decision about this, we have to talk to the money man for sure. We have to see what this.
And one of the other benefits of this approach, if we were just to decide by ourselves that we wanted to change the pumps in the lift stations because we knew we could save the money, without this kind of engineering analysis, without ongoing information coming back from someone that's a third party to verify that we're making the savings, we would be out on the street trying to borrow money for a project that we couldn't prove that we were going to be actually reducing our consumption to offset the cost. And so the financing folks would look at us and say, well, I think that you might be good for $30,000. With this kind of an approach, we're able to say we're good for the $30,000 because we're going to save $30,000 at least in electrical consumption on this. So we will have the money to pay you back because we're saving this money on the electrical consumption. And it does give us an advantage when we are trying to borrow money to have this kind of analysis and a company by our side helping to propose it to the street.
Yeah, I want to make sure, sir, that you have the time necessary to finish your presentation.
Sure. Well, and I was actually going to ask for questions because I only have a couple last thoughts on a couple last slides, but I want to make sure I get to your questions. So whoever had questions,
well,
please.
We are kind of running out of time, unfortunately. I mean, I do have some questions. I think maybe all of us do.
As I understand, the money questions don't go to
him. No, don't go to him. No.
And so we need process questions and procedure questions. So.
I just wanted to clarify that you clearly indicate the energy savings will offset cost of project. And you're literally talking about all costs of implementing this project.
That's correct.
Yeah, yep. In terms of, you know, the energy analysis, the plan of work, construction specifications, preparation and marketing of a finance package, would it include the finance costs?
Yes, that's okay. A requirement under state legislation.
And then either you do actual construction or you contract for construction?
That's correct, both.
And supervision of the project?
We have our own in-house project managers.
How about long-term operation and maintenance?
Yep. Well, so that's dependent upon, like, the city, I don't mean to steal the thunder from the next meeting, but in terms of, like, the wastewater treatment plant, the city's made a decision to hire an outside firm. We actually don't do that, but we certainly are always here for ongoing support and ongoing service on any of the things that we work with the city on.
And you indicated that the life of the project could be 12 to 25 years, so you're making a 12 to 25 year commitment to the community in terms of providing oversight, in terms of monitoring energy savings, making sure that everything is in essence, you're providing warranty in essence that you. The only other question that I really have, and that is that certainly some of the decisions that we're looking at here, we're also in the process of hiring a new public works director.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that we have three candidates, and two of which have an engineering degree. My only hesitancy is timing in terms of, are we ready to move right now? I mean, it would be a shame to bring someone in and not have that person consulted in this project. And likewise, I understand that, you know, we certainly are interviewing firms to operate our waste treatment plant. Mm-hmm. And there's been a name of a firm mentioned specifically that we're working with. But that contract likewise has not yet been brought before council, and that has not been confirmed. And certainly it would seem like we were ahead of ourselves if we made some decisions regarding improvement of the waste treatment plant before we actually hired a consultant who's going to manage and direct that. Likewise, we have a representative from Arizona Public Service, and certainly I've heard that they're wanting to get rid of their electric light, street light contracts. Mm-hmm. That certainly has been a real burden to us over the years in terms of that contract. That would certainly be great, but we haven't negotiated that yet either.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're being told that this is coming, but that still has not yet been brought before council. And so, in essence, it seemed like there's several major decisions here, that actions that we haven't yet gotten to that we would need to make before we actually entered into a contract. I mean, your proposed agenda or a timeline says we're going to start in September. Well, and so anyway, that's...
So your concerns are valid. Those are all important decisions. Let me reassure you, in terms of the timeline, it's not an instantaneous project that we develop. By the time we actually engage and get started, we're probably 30, maybe 45 days down the road. And the actual project development cycle will be anywhere from about 4 months to maybe as much as 6 months. So that's a fairly good size or a fairly lengthy time frame that should allow for these other decisions to be taking place, and in the case of a new public works director, to involve him in a number of those decisions before any final decisions are made.
Because certainly one of the unusual parts of your contract here, a normal request for proposals, is a person brings us, all different firms bring us proposals that we then evaluate and choose one over the other. In your case, we're making kind of a commitment to you up front, I mean, at some point in time,
mm-hmm.
And in which case we are obligated for your analysis, the cost of your analysis, which typically go into a request for proposal or analysis.
Well, one of the
and that's certainly something that's, you know, I think got us all, at least me, a little bit hesitant, mm-hmm. in terms of, you know, we're trying to anticipate what the benefits are going to be. And how large our project will be, realizing that once we say yes, then we're obligated to you, I mean, moving forward.
Well, that's partly why we do the preliminary, so at least we all have a basic idea of what this may potentially look like in terms of not only the financials, but also the specific measures. And then there is still a provision in the state legislation that when all said and done during that 4 to 6 month development process, and we come back with a project that does not meet right. these criteria, that at that point, you are not liable for correct. What our fee is at that correct. Point. So you correct. Still have that out clause correct. At that point.
I guess one final comment, since we're running out of time, and that is that I think we're all excited about improving our streetlights. And certainly, I think, particularly interested in if you're looking at a dark sky approach to this. I also know, as a 6-year city councilman, that every proposal for a streetlight has two people who feel very strongly it shouldn't be there, and two people who feel very strongly that it should be there. And I think that certainly the political process of dealing with streetlights, as much as we all agree, is one of our highest priorities, is not going to be, I don't think it's going to be an easy process. I mean, it's going to be an evolved process, I guess, in somebody's time. I don't know whether that means public works director, city manager, or you in terms as we go through and start assessing placement of streetlights. And of course, we're now looking at what we now have and whether they're efficiently placed, but we also could be looking at additional locations. And I just, I do know that that's not going to be an easy political decision. That it's going to be a timely decision, I should say, takes time to do in terms of the political activity of deciding that.
Well, Council, if I might, I did want, and I hear the concerns about where is this going? And because the scope's not written yet, you don't know. But what I can say is this is not something that Council says, yeah, I think this is a good idea, let's do it, and then all of a sudden it has spiraled out of control 8 months later and you're doing things that you never intended to have done. This is not you guys issuing an okay to move ahead and then we just go do whatever we want. This is a continuing dialogue with the council. There's continuing evaluation of what we're putting together as a project. I get it, the worst fear would be that you have good intentions for improving something, and then all of a sudden, what you wind up with is ridiculous. And that's not what Siemens proposes. And that's the reason why other communities like them. It's the reason why they've done a good job here in the state. They've been very careful to coordinate with local staff and councils to ensure the intention of the project is still true.
Yep, exactly. Other questions while we got a minute or two left?
My biggest concern, if we're going to get to the end of when the project has to begin, and within 30 days of getting the agreement of what we're going to do, that we don't have the funding. And that's the reason I want to hear more about how we're going to do this.
We'll discuss the funding at a separate meeting.
Okay.
Well, like I indicated, we're discussing process and procedure, but we'll discuss funding separately.
Well, yeah, you said that the funding was from the city manager, but not that it was going to be another meeting. So.
Ms. Klein.
I've got one, but it has to do with funding. But still, can somebody fully explain the very last paragraph of the information that we got regarding the $58,000?
As I understand, the fee to proceed is $58,000, and that if we then were to look at that and say, you know what, we don't like any of this, we don't want to do it, then we would owe $58,000. If we were to say, this is a great idea, let's go ahead, then that $58,000 is wrapped into the entire project with a guarantee that it won't, that we'll have a savings at the end.
That's exactly right.
Where will that come from? If
that's inclusive of the project.
If we decide not to do the project and we have to pay that, where is that going to come from?
You're asking which account that would come from?
Yes.
Okay, we can discuss the finance at a different time, because I don't have that answer, Ms. Klein.
But the city manager should.
Well, and this isn't a meeting to we're out of time is the unfortunate thing, so this is going to have to be carried over.
Another work session.
We will. And we will be specifically discussing funding. Is that all right, staff? And Mr. Smith?
Yes, sir.
Thanks for your interest, Council.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Forward working together.
I appreciate your time.
Yeah, you bet. I appreciate your interest. Thank you very much. All right.
You have a motion to adjourn this meeting?
I move that we adjourn the work session.
We have a motion. We have a second. Those in favor signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. We stand adjourned. We now we're ready to start the next meeting. No, you didn't. I'm sorry.
Hi, Melanie.